Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Is it episode four?
No, it's three. Oh, it's R4. There,
it's
three.
R4th. We've been doing this for 4 weeks, talking shite.
Look at. Sure, look at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go, let's go, come on.
Let's be clear. Shrine of Duty.
You're being interviewed today as a witness, not as a suspect.
The official, unofficial podcast.
My team will get to the root of anything.
Shrine of Duty.
Hello, fellas, and welcome to Shrine of Duty. I'm Brendan.
I'm Rebecca.
I'm Hannah.
And for the purposes of the tape, I would just like to say that I'm overwhelmed. Je suis overwhelmed, to be honest.
It was a lot.
A lot.
So tense.
It was definitely the most stressful episode so far, and definitely the one that made me feel like an idiot because I hadn't a clue what went on when it ended.
Oh, I need this recap.
Like, now, I knew it was stressful from the episode, but I think I was extra stressed because I knew I was going to have to write a recap on it, and I honestly didn't know what was going on.
It was my turn to live tweet, so I didn't really have my eyes on the screen all of the time because I was like frantically trying to find GIFs and other things, so I haven't really fully watched this episode. So I'm counting on you, Reb, to fill me in.
Well, there's a lot of detail coming your way.
I'm excited. I watched it twice and I'm still none the wiser. Yeah. So please, Rebecca.
So as Tony Stone described it to us in a tweet, PDSD, post-duty stress disorder.
That's what I have. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That sums
so
up
accurate.
The feeling. Mm-hmm. Few shout outs this week. First and foremost, shout out of the week goes to Hannah's mam.
Hannah's mam.
Shout out, what's your mom's
Caroline.
Name?
Caroline.
Caroline.
Yeah.
Shout out Caroline, who got us the most amazing AC12 mugs, which I'm currently drinking out
them?
Of. Yeah.
Oh, what a great mug.
Yeah. Mine says, Brendan, hold on there, fella, on one side and has the AC12 logo on the other side.
Mine is the exact same, but it says, Hannah, I didn't come up the Liffey on a Lilo, and Rebecca's is so precious to her that it's actually at home.
I've been using it every single night. I come home from work, have me dinner, make a cup of tea, and look at AC12.
You were afraid that people in work would rob it. I just hide mine in my drawer.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm pretty paranoid.
Mine's coming home with me tonight. Also, hi to all of our new followers on @ShrineOfDuty on Twitter and Instagram. We've got so many people chatting
little
with us.
Brag, Brendan.
No, just there's so many people like giving their thoughts and their theories, and it's great.
We're so popular.
So popular. And we'll be going through many of your thoughts and theories in a few minutes.
Oh, so many of them because we're so popular.
So many. But first, with a recap of season 5, episode 3, it's Reb.
I've been dreading this, lads. Here goes.
How many pages is it?
1, 2, 3.
What?
4, 5.
Five, I can't wait.
Okay.
Five pages typed up. Stunning.
Here
Let's
we go.
Season 5, episode 3 opens inside Kingsgate Printing Services. John Corbett / Clayton and the OCG are planning a raid of the Eastfield Depot, a storage facility used by police to keep proceeds of robberies like drugs and cash. He explains they have bent coppers in their pocket and they will help them successfully complete the raid.
Now that was a brilliant first paragraph.
Yep.
Thanks, guys. I feel really encouraged now to keep going. We then go to Ted, Kate and Steve in the office, who reveal that P.S. Jane Cafferty claims that the corrupt police officer with established links to organised crime who recruited her was Dot. So that person last week who made that chart was accurate.
Yeah, well done to everyone that got that right.
Yeah.
I think we were kind of going along that line as well, but only because of that person's chart.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Credible observation. Steve reckons Cafferty is mistaken or bargaining for immunity. Ted closes the file and says, no more skulking around, okay? There's no secrets in AC12.
I just remembered when we were talking during the week about Nigel Morton, because remember I said there was someone that said immunity in the funniest way, but it was him. He was like, I have four words for you, Ted. Immunity.
Iconic. Later that evening, Ted sips on a sizable whiskey in a dimly lit pub. He's joined
by a large whiskey.
Absolutely huge. You'd be pissed.
You couldn't be doing any
that.
Business meetings after that.
The man is having a mare. Will you let him? One cube of ice.
Yeah, one cube of ice. Oh, I love those little details that Jed gives us. Ted is joined by Mark Moffat, who says he can secure his investment in his kettlebell property company with a deposit of 100 grand for a once in a lifetime opportunity.
How much does that sound like an email that you get from like a Nigerian prince?
Spam account.
That's like, please. I'm like, he cannot be. He is a high ranking officer. He can't be stupid enough to fall for that. Brendan, please tell me.
Also, if he had 100 grand, like, are they looking for Ted to invest this 100 grand?
Yeah, so
sure, he wouldn't be in the hotel if he had that in his arse pocket.
Yeah, he gives 100 grand to get the investment back. I'm like, how much did he invest?
Yeah, it's
100 grand, I'd be gone. You wouldn't see me for dust.
Oh, you'd never see me again. You'd be like, who, Rebecca, where is she? So Moffat explains that part of the deal is to recoup Ted's original losses. So he was trying to lure Ted in there, and Ted wasn't really having any of it at that stage.
Okay.
Back in the printer shop, we see John making a fake AC12 badge. I only noticed that upon second watching. So he was making that already.
Yeah, he was making a few.
Yeah, okay. So he's making the badge. Lisa walks in, startles him, and she says that she's been on to a bent copper who can get them into Eastfield Depot. She then opens up the messaging service, MSN, on the laptop so she can speak to H. Right?
Yeah.
Right, we're all together.
I didn't cop that John made that badge at the start of the episode, so that kind of changes my opinion on what happens later on.
Does it?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
It's premeditated.
Mm.
Oh, John knows what he's doing,
I'm very
guys.
Upset with him this week.
So H types that Eastfield Depot is definitely high risk, and he spells the word definitely wrong.
Definitely.
Yeah. Can I just say that definitely is it's a bit of a tricky word to spell, no?
That's in there for a reason.
Do you think? I was watching it on Sunday and I did see that bit, and I thought that like there's some poor showrunner sitting at home now on a Sunday evening.
Sick.
Mortified.
The
and
continuity
just,
person's devastated.
And yeah, and just nobody caught it. Yeah, I wonder. Just like it's something that could happen that somebody who works in the show, it was their job to just type something into a screen and nobody checked it.
Now, do you want to know? I am so pleased with my observation about this, right? That I can't take the smile off my face. I think it's in there on purpose.
Yeah.
Because after it comes up on the screen, the next line that John Corbett says out of his mouth is, yeah, definitely. And I think he said definitely to make you think about definitely, look at definitely and notice that it was wrong. Okay. And I was like, that is such clever writing from Jed if you did that. Yeah. Watch the clip again and John goes, yeah, definitely.
Well, there
and then
is...
you're like, oh, wait, that's wrong. Oh, wait.
But Tom Green, he's a producer on BBC Five Live.
Yes.
You'd know.
Yeah, well, I would, yeah.
In your boxers.
He said that he's met Jed a few times and he said that that wouldn't be a mistake, that it would be there deliberately.
Oh, I have no doubt in my mind that it's in there deliberately.
Okay.
Okay, so definitely spelled wrong. Afterwards, John asks Lisa who H is. She says the truth is that she doesn't know, and for her own good, she plans to keep it that way. I really liked that. Was a line of juicy. Lines of juicy for
me. Lines of juicy.
We then cut to Ted in Heartbreak Hotel, closing his laptop, staring at us from across the room and looking pretty damn stressed.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
They're making us sweat about Ted, aren't they?
Yeah.
And the laptop, just in case you didn't notice it last week, we'll just stare at it for 3 seconds tonight.
True. That night, John and Steve meet in a laneway. John tells him that he has Lisa reaching out to bent coppers and that she makes contact with high levels of the organisation using a laptop. John gives Steve her burner number for surveillance and tells him not to make any moves without telling him first. Steve asks John to work with AC12. John gets very angry and he says the deal they made is for keeps.
John is definitely starting to unravel in this episode, isn't he? Like his cool has gone a bit.
Yeah, he was just short of
He's
putting
freaked.
Out his like baby finger there to do like a it's for keys.
Yeah, yeah.
He is
unhinged.
Yeah, he's
and
in
that
bits,
was the
isn't he?
First moment that you start to be like, "Oh, wow, guys, I'm you're devastated. Unraveling at the seams, John.
I'm devastated over him."
In the office, Steve looks into Lisa's past, and out on the screen we see a file relating to social services. Someone did take a screenshot of that file.
That entirely twice.
It doesn't really tell you what, but it does make you kind of. I think it's a bit of a kind of, what's the word, a little taster for what we're going to find out in later episodes about Lisa, and she's already hinted.
Definitely.
You know?
So many theories about who she is this week.
Yes.
Oh, so many. Oh, I can't wait for that section later on after I read out 55 pages. So Tadleen tracks her location from her phone records and places Lisa in the Moss Heath area. Steve and other officers go to have a goo.
Yeah,
in that area.
Have a goo.
They arrive at a building and see Lisa go in while Miroslav Minkovic. Wow, I did
this
that well.
Recap is so helpful. I did not. I watched it twice and I had no idea how they got to that building at the time that she was there.
I was just in shock.
They tracked her phone, did they?
Yeah.
John Corbett gave the number.
He gave the burner to Steve in the laneway that evening.
Like, I need to listen to our own podcast to figure out.
And Hastings gave them permission to monitor her phone, wasn't that? Because they made a point going, oh yeah, the gaffer.
Yeah, I think he did, yeah. Oh God,
did
jeez, me questioning
my
own recap. Shocking. So they arrive at a building and see Lisa go in while Miroslav Minkovic waits outside and they take a load of pics of him, right? Back at base, Steve identifies Miroslav as the man he met in 2012 during the Tony Gates investigation. Do you remember he tried to cut off his fingers?
Yes.
I think Miroslav is the one that killed Jackie Lafferty, is he?
Oh yeah, possibly.
Miroslav.
Definitely one of that gang, the original gang, the OG gang with Ryan when Ryan was a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is the guy though that was running one of Jackie Lafferty's properties though. Isn't this the same person?
I think he was involved in the printing place when Jackie was involved.
Yeah. Okay.
That is a little star, what do you call those, asterisks?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll return to that when we do our research.
Please
and figure
God.
That out. So, Steve says that Miroslav is a violent offender and considered very dangerous. AC12 identified two places of interest that McQueen visited, Porton House in the estate and Kingsgate Printing Works, our favourite place that Jackie Lafferty used to frequent. Steve shows aerial shots of the six flats, right?
Mm.
I didn't cop this now. Me fella did. They're both shaped like H's.
Oh my
God. Is H
God.
A place, like we said in one of our 85 theories last week?
Now, is H a place? Yeah, is H not a singular person? That is one of my theories.
Yeah.
It is, Hannah.
Or, go on.
No, tell us what
or
you think.
Or does H... is whoever is H doesn't even realise that they are H, that they're being manipulated.
That's exactly like, anyway.
Go on.
Brendan. We'll bank it for
we've covered every theory that we're like going to have been right at some point.
Yeah, I know. We'll be like, didn't we tell you she was bent? So surveillance images show a number of visitors on the sex offenders register entering that building. One image shows a man leaving the back exit during Lisa's visit. Kate reckons the house is used for drugs or prostitution.
They're paedophiles.
Yeah, oh no, they are. Like, they're horrific sex offenders.
Okay.
Ted says that they have a duty to the women in the building and he asks his team to carry out a raid on the house and the print shop, claiming that now they are sucking diesel.
I loved that bit where he's like, raid them all. I was like, here we go.
The OCG are in the print shop planning the raid when John gets a call pretending that it's his girlfriend, right? I found that scene so funny. He's like, hey sexy, how are you? It's just a shot of Steve. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it was good.
So Steve tells him that they're raiding the print shop and the gaff. Officers arrive at the house to find women locked in rooms,
and now
which is horrific.
I was remembering to the WhatsApp, I had literally written Carly Kirk in capital letters. I was convinced she was coming back behind one of the doors.
One girl in the house is an underage lady named Mariana. She was probably, what age is she, 15, guys?
Yeah, I was desperate.
14, 13, she's very
young. Yeah, Kate says it. She's like, how young is she? Like, it's awful.
Awful. The print shop, however, is mainly empty with only staff who actually work there inside. John and the OCG have legged it with the laptop.
Mm. Yeah. Well, don't mind the staff, like...
Oh, leave them there. Bye. See ya, TTFN.
Yeah, I'd say not a passport between any of them. They're screwed.
They can print their own.
Later, John waits for Steve to arrive in that car park where they always meet. John goes mad about the raid, shouting
that no one wants to know organised crime relies on bent coppers. Another line of juicy.
He was nearly in tears, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It was awful. I just get really upset when he's upset, and he's always playing roles where he's upset.
He is upset. John goes on to explain that the planned raid of Eastfield Depot, there is a senior officer involved that has pulled strings to make sure that they won't have the full force after them on the night. Enter Jill Bigelow, back with another glamorous curly blow dry. She tells Ted, I think it's PCC. It could be DCC or PCC. This is where all these little, what are they called?
Acronyms.
Acronyms are where I fall down.
50 people will correct us.
They will correct us. So
KF.
So Jill says that the PCC... can we just address that from last week?
The KF?
Week? Will we? Yeah, can we please address the KF?
Yeah, look, we realise the KF now stands for Kate Fleming, and that whenever an officer finds evidence, that they initial it and then put a number after it. So KF1, KF2, KF3. Thank you.
Thank you We're so thick. Much. We're
so
idiots.
Would yours be Ball 1?
Yeah.
Yeah, Hawk 2.
Hawk 2.
Russ 3. Not right. So... Jill Bigelow, she starts going on about Andrea Wise, that she was only appointed because she was a woman. She says that, oh, Ted, I believe you finally promoted Kate to DI.
She has a walking agenda, that one, isn't she?
Oh, she was throwing shade.
I loved that. And then this is another line of juicy.
This is a line of juicy. She tells Ted to catch Corbett and all the other bullshit will vanish.
No, but are you talking about, I have it written down. Ted's line. Ted goes, I can't do his accent, but Ted goes, Kate... Oh, aye, the wee girl is doing a grand job. A banging job.
Oh my God, we got completely different lines of juicy.
Two lines
very
of juicy
succulent,
there, one,
aren't they?
One scene.
Very. Steve interviews Mariana from the raided house. He says that there was a woman matching McQueen's description there, speaking to a man who she says is middle-aged with light hair and a strong accent. Definitely not local. That was when I was like, Jesus, lads, it's Ted. Not local. Ted floating up the lagging on a bubble.
No, see, I thought something totally different.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll come to it in thoughts and theories. Mm.
So Steve, right, pulls Kate into a room, tells her that the person giving him the intel on the OCG is Corbett. He says Corbett is convinced that there is a high-level conspiracy to suppress his investigation. He reckons Powell sabotaged his efforts and expressed suspicion about the gaffer.
Now, Rebecca, I apologise for overthrowing your recap, but can we just go back to that interview for one second? Because it was something I noticed on the second watch that, based on a couple of emails that came in, I think it's going to be important. They asked that girl, Marianne, why there was frozen condoms, or there was condoms in the mini freezer, Brendan. Yep. Remember you tweeted about Trish? No, bloody hell, Jackie.
Trish Laverty. Shout out Trish Laverty.
We work with someone called Trish Laverty.
And I can't stop.
Anna keeps calling Jackie Trish and Trish
like, Trish
Jackie.
Is dead. Anyway, the freezer. So he asks, or Kate asks her why there's condoms in the freezer, and she says the men that are in charge make the women or girls in the house keep the frozen condoms. So just keep that in your brains and we'll come back.
That's later in the episode that we discover that.
I apologise.
but there's two interview scenes, but that is a key element to this
so
week's episode.
Sorry.
No, Hannah, you're right. It's a good observation, right? So anyway, John reckons Powell sabotages efforts. He expresses suspicion about Ted, right? He has told Steve that. Kate says there's no way that Ted would have ignored the vulnerability of the women in the brothel. I just called it a brothel. I just couldn't think of another word.
Yeah.
It is. It's awful. So Steve tells her about the planned raid. Kate and Steve then proceed to loop Ted in, and they tell him all about the raid, the corrupt police officer involved. Kate says that it is an opportunity to crack the highest level link between corrupt officers and organised crime, possibly the top dog. Ted says that he'll have to run it past the DCC, but he will back his best team.
Yeah, I was a bit suspicious of when Ted was like, oh yeah, I have to run this past the DCC. I was like, but like...
Yeah, why?
What does the DCC mean?
That's Andrea Wise.
That's your one,
that replaced...
Your man.
Which is very
You're
clear.
Welcome.
Your man who apparently committed suicide.
Yeah.
Or killed himself.
Hilton. Okay.
And it's where Jill's always sniffing around now.
Yes.
So Ted then legs it into his hotel, covers up his laptop in bubble wrap, his favourite thing to float in, and he brings it to an electronic disposal centre. Why would you wrap up a laptop that you're trying to get rid of?
Have so
many questions about that entire
many
thing.
Many questions about that. And I had had like a few drinks on Sunday, like not many, but a few. But I was like so confused about why someone would wrap up a laptop. So much bubble wrap. Did you go and buy it? You don't have enough money for that. Just throw it in a bit. Like, it was so confusing.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're bringing it to be destroyed, it doesn't need to be like, you big bubble wrap something to protect it.
I don't think that's being destroyed at all.
Yeah. Maybe it's not. Maybe he's trying to keep it. And the other... Yeah, I don't know. Go on. Sorry.
Well, no, we'll get to the theory. Very confused. A lot of people have... But a lot of people have commented on that particular scene. So, right, we're getting to the juicy part 18 minutes later.
Here we go.
The night of the raid. Meanwhile, at Eastfield Depot, Kate, Steve and a load of officers monitor the building and they wait for the OCG to crack on with their crimes. John is fuming that Lisa's bent bastard hasn't turned up and he thinks that he has set them up. Ryan from season one then chimes in and says they can't bottle it. He's like, no, we have to go ahead with it. We can't bottle it. I'm like, are you an undercover officer, Ryan?
Oh,
or an informant,
God, yeah,
or whatever, you know? They drive the truck in, goes past security. Security are in on it. They block out the CCTV. They fill their truck and they get all their cash and all their drugs. John's standing there waiting for the bent copper, but he's a no-show. John is fuming, but he tells everyone to keep loading up all their drugs. The OCG then hear police sirens. They also hear on their radios that an officer is calling for a status zero at Farmers Lane, reporting a possible ambush. Another day, another ambush. Kate says it's a deliberate diversion, but Ted says no, regs are regs, right?
When Ted's voice came over the radio telling them to divert, every hair on my body stood up.
Did it?
I was like, oh my God.
You're like, he's not there.
I just had pictures of Ted. He wasn't there. I just this image of him, you know, in a dark room somewhere pulling all the puppet strings. And I was like, oh my God, this is it. This is Ted.
Because isn't there another minute where she's trying to speak to him and he doesn't respond for a second or two?
That whole scene was so creepy and tense.
Yeah, it was
and
so
I felt like we were just really close to whoever it was that
you
was
could
running
almost
the whole
smell
operation.
Them in the room with you.
And
also the moment then that happens after is that Kate tells Steve to go and check out Farmers Lane. And I was like, Steve is a goner.
I thought Steve was going to die.
She's going to, Ted's told her to do it and she's going to make him go in there and something terrible's going to happen.
Wasn't the acting in this scene so good? Like, John Corbett's on the ground ramping it up. So you're really stressed for them.
Yeah.
You can hear the police sirens. Then Ted's not there. Then Steve has to leave. Then Kate's calling the shots. You're one taking 50 million photos and it's just like, intense.
So intense. So Steve goes to Farmers Lane. He finds an officer at the scene who says that he skidded off the road because there was oil on the road and that he also saw OCG in the trees with guns and stuff.
Straight up, you were like, bullshit.
Yeah, a likely story.
Absolutely. Back at Eastfield, a vehicle approaches the depot. So that when that vehicle approached the depot, I thought H was going to be a no-show. And then, well, if it is H, but I thought that the corrupt officer that Lisa was chatting to was going to be a no-show.
Yeah. So did I.
That
I didn't think
driving.
We were going to get it. And then we got it. And didn't they say something like, it's one of our cars or something like that. And I was like, here we go.
Yeah.
So a man in a balaclava steps out. John approaches him. But we can't, it goes back to Kate then, you can't see what they're saying or hear what they're saying.
We're kind of watching through the CCTV or through their surveillance.
Exactly. So you can't hear.
She's like to the camera woman, what's your one taking all the photos? She's like, Susan, snap this. And Susan's at the window like milling.
Like
I'd say to your friend, you at a festival, so take pictures of me, 15 more. The vehicle's there, the man steps out. Kate reckons that the high ranking officer has told the OCG about their trackers. Kate orders one vehicle and three AFOs to return to Eastfield from Farmers Lane. So Steve's on his way back now.
She called rank, didn't she? Steve was like, I'm not doing it. And she's like, I'm sorry, I'm calling rank. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, I was like, you are a badass queen.
Mom.
As the high ranking officer turns to leave Eastfield, John shoots him several times in the legs and claims that he has crossed them. The OCG drive away and Steve engages in a high speed chase.
I just wasn't sure. He didn't need to shoot him.
No,
like,
what
you just
was that?
You were like, what? He just, I thought he just lost it. But now that you've said that he was making that AC-12 badge at the start of the episode, I'm thinking that maybe it was more planned than
we thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Kate arrives.
I actually am going to write it down.
Kate arrives at Eastfield to find the high ranking balaclava man bleeding out from his injuries on his leg. She removes his balaclava to reveal DCS Hargreaves.
Hargreaves?
Hargreaves.
Yeah.
Hargreaves?
Yeah.
Did anyone else?
It looked like Ted.
I think
for
it was Ted.
That, well, no, that moment was wasted on me. Like I said, a few drinks, not many, and I was lying sideways. And I, you know, the big reveal moment.
Yeah.
I was like,
but your man always has glasses on as well. Yeah. I was like, where are the specs?
Also, the way it was deliberately filmed so that you were like, is that Ted? Like, yeah. Who is that? Like, it was deliberately done that way. But I still don't feel like. I thought that in this episode we were going to find out who H was.
No,
is.
I don't think we did.
And I didn't feel that was that. I thought, you know, like Scooby-Doo, pull off the mask. Yeah. Like, it's H. I don't think that happened.
And we knew Hargreaves was involved.
Yeah.
We did. That
do you know
was
what
and
I
he
mean?
Does look like someone that had spelled definitely wrong.
Yeah,
he does.
Doesn't he?
Oh, God. So the next day, Steve, Kate and Ted are back at a forensic investigation of Farmer's Lane. It's revealed that the OCG got away with goods worth 50 million. It's understood Hargreaves tipped them off about the trackers.
Idea.
So they reckon that Hargreaves tipped them off about the trackers. But Steve says they don't know how he knew about the trackers.
Why would he? Is he not Murder Squad or Serious? It's nothing
serious
to
crime,
do with him.
Yeah.
Serious crime. So someone in AC12, there's still a mole or a H or whatever.
For God's sake.
Sam then arrives, right? Ugh. She starts fishing for info off Steve about Hargreaves going missing. Steve doesn't oblige. Sam wonders if the investigation into Hargreaves is the reason why Steve hasn't called her back since that dodgy smooch.
He's like, yeah, okay, cool, that's why.
Yeah. PC Bloom then, meanwhile, the man whose vehicle crashed into a ditch at Farmer's Lane, is questioned by AC12. It's discovered he crashed on purpose. He placed the oil himself on the ground and he made up that the OCG were hiding in trees. He says that Hargreaves asked him to do the status zero call because he needed to be in the area at the time and he needed an excuse if anyone ever checked up on it.
Him with the can of WD-40 in the back pocket.
Elsewhere, Kate questions Mariana, who was found in the brothel.
Oh, sorry,
and
Rep.
Says, no, that's okay. She says that there was a small freezer on site filled with used condoms. Mariana says that she was instructed to keep them by some of the men that she was forced to have sex with. She then reveals that this applied to the man she saw with Lisa. So then that question comes into play. Was Hargreaves blackmailed to be involved? Do you know, was he blackmailed by the condom, by the, you know, him having sex with underage people?
The condom.
Yeah.
Blackmailed by a condom. This week on Jeremy Kyle.
No, that's like Women's Way or one of them rags, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh my God, I love
those blackmailed
magazines.
By my husband's condom.
My husband cheated on me, so I cut him into little pieces.
And yeah, turned him into a necklace.
And then did an interview made of Women's Way for €50.
So Kate then ponders to Steve. Kate then ponders to Steve whether Hargreaves has been blackmailed. She seems a bit suspicious of our Ted. We then find out that Hargreaves was pronounced dead. Oh my God, that rhymed. Wow.
I also thought quite convenient that, like, oh, he's dead now. We can't find out anything from there.
Like, Hilton, him, someone else, Manish, like, gone. Like, I can't ask anyone anything.
Yeah, we'll come back. We'll come back.
Right.
We will. Later in the episode, Ted meets Jill for a drink. She throws
had the blow dried on.
Again.
Of course she has.
She must be spending a fortune on them. She throws
that's
shade.
That's what she wants the investment for. $100,000 for me curly blow dries.
Loyalty card, defo.
Wouldn't we all? She throws shade at AC12 and she says that people
wouldn't
think...
Wouldn't like her.
Yeah, she says that people think Ted is failing. She brings up early retirement. That was honestly, that was a low blow.
Oh, that is so rude.
That was another line of juicy. She was like, you know, oh, some people would say you're failing. I wouldn't be one of them.
Yeah, she's like, not me. Then she's like, oh, you know, he's like, oh, I know you're going to bring up early retirement. She was like, oh, you're being a bit nice to yourself there. Early retirement. I was like, oh.
She's an absolute witch.
Weapon.
Weapon.
Love her though.
She sips her wine, bats her eyelashes and she starts to get very flirty. Ted says, it's just dinner.
Someone called her.
What Ted said?
Called her a strumpet online earlier.
We have an email from a woman who called her an absolute slug.
Absolute slug.
No, like, we do love Jill though.
I love Jill.
So then it cuts to John Corbett, absolutely unhinged. He meets Steve in the car park.
I'm
He's
devastated
telling
at this
Steve
point.
He screwed him over. John finds out that he actually, in fact, did kill Hargreaves. And he asks Steve where he was and why he was pulled out of the depot. John claims Hastings is the reason why the OCG got away with their gear and that Hastings is H.
John, like, his voice starts to crumble and he points the gun at his head at one point.
Oh.
Like, I was just...
This was the second time in this episode that I thought Steve was going to die. Yeah. And then I was like, oh no, John's going to kill himself.
I thought he was going to kill himself.
And guys, that poor fella that walked in on the commotion.
Yeah,
he's
you're
like, police!
Steve tells John that he's arresting him, right? John shoots over his shoulder, thought Steve was gone.
So did I.
John then tells Steve that he didn't mean to kill Hargreaves, but now that he has, he's crossed the line. Then Steve's like, well, you crossed the line a long time ago, mate.
Manise.
So, yeah, John points the gun at Steve and says that he's on his own and there's no way back. He couldn't give himself up if he wanted to. John says he'll finish his job his way, his rules. John says he trusted Steve, but he sold him out. This is on you. It's all on you. He shouts as he runs off into the dark.
I mean, will we leave?
Like, Reb was fully acting that out.
Oh, she
there.
Was gone. Like, there was no eye contact. She nearly stood up.
The arm was going.
I had to transcribe that slightly.
It's one of my favourite scenes ever. I thought it was absolutely like electrifying. The action was unreal. And it's like a Macbethian downfall that John is having. He's just spiraled into madness. There's nowhere left to turn. He's murdered someone. He's not getting back to the wife.
Nope.
What's that line? I know Macbeth from The Leaving
Cert. It was a full soliloquy.
Yeah, it was
wasn't
a soliloquy. He stepped in blood so far he can't turn back. I'm
meanwhile, guys.
Jed,
come on. I literally wrote bomb chicka. Wow, wow. Ted and Jill are back in the Scaldy Hotel. They're back at the hotel.
Oh, and he was all embarrassed of his room.
Jill
he was
goes,
like, it's only temporary.
No, it was awful. Jill goes into the bathroom. I was like, love, the toilet's broken.
Don't use the loo, love.
Yeah, but you know.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, he didn't stop her. He didn't stop her. So, A, the toilet's been fixed. Or B, there's something more about that toilet. And a few people have actually emailed us in about that, Lou.
Yeah. Watch that space. And then, right, final scene, guys. I got there in the
Brendan's
end.
Face. He's just like, what are
we
you talking
see
about?
John... dressed in a uniform, knocking on Ted's wife's
I was so
door.
Let down. I was so let down because I can't fancy him anymore. Now he's going to kill
so
someone
shocked.
Again.
I knew he was. I knew he was dodgy. Anyway, Ted's wife opens the door. He says his name is DS Steve Arnott from AC12. He says it's a sensitive matter and asks if he can step inside. Ted's wife says she needs to check with her husband.
Dead right,
and
ex-husband.
Heads in. Ex-husband. However, John puts on a balaclava, plies open the lock chain, enters the apartment, closes the door, and the credits roll.
Reb, that was an amazing summary of what happened.
Sorry, the summaries thanks, keep getting better, and
yeah.
I have to do an next week and you made a show with all.
Yeah,
well done.
I'm
yeah.
sweating, and I'm sorry it took longer than I thought, but I think that was an episode that was every scene had something in it that you needed to know.
We had to talk about everything. That was brilliant and so well written. Well done.
We did. Right, I'm going to sit back. You guys have a chat for a while.
I think, I have a lot of questions. Like, how did Corbett know where Ted's wife lives?
That's my biggest question. I have that written down.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nope.
And how did he know? Has he been planning this all along? Are AC-12 pawns in his, you know, his own vendetta against the police?
When I first watched it, I just thought that he just, I don't know, I thought that when he shot Hargreaves in the back of the legs, I thought that he just lost it. And then, like he said to Steve, he was like, oh, well, fuck it, like, I've gone there now, so I'm just actually going to go full tilt. But I don't know, maybe it is. There's more to it than just a switch being flicked.
Yeah, because I suppose if you think back, right, it's not just AC-12 that are calling the shots here. There is like AC-9 and AC-3. They're other anti-corruption units that we have learned about over the 5 seasons. There's also that woman that Kate went to ask for permission to investigate Josh.
Yes.
They can investigate AC-12, and there's all that sort of stuff that goes on as well. I don't think we've seen the last of Alison Powell.
No.
I don't think it's a straight up with her just handing over Pertry as it seems. So, yeah, that's definitely a big question. How did he know? Because it's not Ted's family home, because he has access to police files on his iPad that he was looking at in the hotel room.
Yeah.
But it's not Ted's family home. It's a new flat that the wife has moved into.
Do you know who does know, though, guys? And this has just dawned on me. When Moffat and Ted are in the pub at the start of the episode, Moffat's like, you've told me your situation. You've told me that you're broke, that you're in a hotel and your wife is in a dingy flat. And I'm just thinking, is what we said last week, is Moffat trying to recruit Ted to set him up for a fall? Did Moffat tell Steve? Did Moffat and Corb, not Steve, John, do Moffat and John know each other?
Are they in cahoots?
Yeah.
Well, we get into some theories and thoughts from emails this week. So I've broken all the emails into groups based on kind of our main suspects, like we did last week. So let's start with Ted. This is an email from Laurie Turner. The subject heading of the mail was, "This theory didn't float up the Thames in a crisp packet." It's not brilliant. He referred to us as Mom, and Brendan. I won't be answering to anything less in future.
Obsessed.
He said, "Ted is not H, but he will get framed for it. Moffat with the money into his account that will make it look like he's profited off the OCG activity / taking a bribe. And Jill is surely collecting his little fellas to link him with the brothel."
Yes.
How observative, is that a word, is that?
So she's planting something in that bathroom, guys.
So Jill's going to ride Ted for his sperms.
Well, we've already heard in the episode of a freezer full of condoms. So it's not that far of a leap to presume that she's taken a condom.
They did the same thing with Jackie Laverty's body. They say a body comes out and your DNA's on it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that person that called her a strumpet earlier was right to call her that.
An email from Darren Swain. Ted was advised his toilet was fixed after someone had been to inspect, although we later found out it wasn't. Has something been planted? Is that why we see Jill heading in there at the end of the episode? Good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Always check down the cistern of an old-fashioned toilet. It is always a place where you find dodgy
stuff. Was that not an integrated cistern now? Because it's got
Brendan,
push button.
Do you remember?
No, because he kept pushing. Did he not push a button? Like, it's, you know, the hotel thing where you can't actually get into it.
Someone send us a screen grab of the toilet.
Can someone confirm, is it an integrated cistern in Ted?
This is going to be KF all over again.
Darren continues, Ted was going to destroy the laptop. If Ted was going to destroy the laptop, he would not bubble wrap it. I believe this has evidence secured in it and it has been placed in safekeeping. I couldn't agree more. As Reb said, bubble wrap is something that is used to keep something safe.
Like your AC-12. Sperm sample.
Yeah, or your AC-12 mug.
Like your freezer of condoms.
But it says on the sign in the background of that shot, it says electronic disposal centre.
I know, but just, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't, no.
No.
An email from Avalyn. She said, it's my belief he was selling the laptop in order to have enough money to pay for dinner with Jill. It's a tactic he's used before when he took Steve and Georgia to dinner in season 2, RIP Georgia, and Roisin commented on him picking up the bill in order to disguise his financial situation. The urgency in his decision could have just been his knowledge that meeting Jill was a bad move, but feeling irritated that he decided to do it anyway. That's, interesting point, for sure. Like, he could have been wrapping it up to bring it somewhere to sell us. An email from Mark. Jill has been sent to seduce Ted so that when he's asked for his whereabouts on the night of his wife's murder / disappearance, he'll have to say he was with Jill as his alibi, which will drop him in it even more. So that theory suggests that Jill and John are in cahoots.
Yeah.
What do we know about Jill's personal life?
We don't.
Nothing.
Do
imagine
we?
If Moffat is her ex or something.
Yeah. A lot of people. So do you remember last week, like, everyone was saying Hargreaves was dodgy.
Yeah.
And then obviously in this week's episode, we found out that was the case. This week, everyone is talking about Jill. Everyone's like, Jill is dodgy.
Yes, I have.
So like,
so
people were right last week. So, you know, chances are people are right this week.
Yes.
There's an email from Killian Harford, speaking of Jill. He says she's the only remaining high-profile character that it could be. I'm assuming that's H. Everything she's ever done has hindered investigations or promoted corrupt officers to higher positions of power. Only Hastings, Kate and Steve knew about the raid last night. Hastings said he would run it by the DCC when Kate and Steve told him. Jill's currently helping the DCC.
Yeah.
That's how she knows about the raid, and that's how they got tipped off about the trackers. The OCG uses DNA to blackmail officers. Hargreaves was being blackmailed because they kept his semen after he was using the brothel. Jill is about to sleep with Ted. Why else would this be happening? Dot wasn't blinking for
bit.
I love this bit, and I've seen this, a few people have said
this.
Dot wasn't blinking for H in season 3. He was blinking for G. This will be revealed at the end of this season.
Now, that's one of my favourite emails that we've gotten in so far.
Yeah.
Everything in that is so solid. And when I read that bit at the end, like, Dot wasn't blinking for H, he was blinking for G, I'm like, yes.
Go
yes.
on, Killian Harford.
I apologise, I keep calling Hargreaves Hargreaves, but I just can't pronounce it.
You say whatever you want, so
okay.
He's dead.
Can't defame the dead, my love. An email from Avalyn. Avalyn's commented on Ted earlier, now a theory on Jill. Says Jill Bigelow is in charge of the OCG, or at least the missing link to corrupt police officers. She arrived and left a similar time to Dot.
Loved that.
Yeah. Suggesting to me like she was responsible for supervising and guiding him. H promoted Dot, and she has a lot of control over AC12 decisions. She's not a police officer as such, but this has given her protection from anti-corruption investigation and probably allowed her to stay under the radar. She called Avalyn called Jill an absolute slug.
Obsessed slug.
I really like those points as well. I wonder, is she protected from anti-corruption investigation? Because I suppose she's not a police officer. She is hired by the police.
She's kind of floats around the edges, doesn't she?
Yeah, like, what the fuck does she do all day?
Gets her hair done.
Gets blow dries and storms around Ted's office.
And just throws shade at Ted.
Literally,
she
does.
Was going to town on him. Like, there is another email from Terry Plimmer, and he or she, we're not sure, wrote, now I'm thinking that Jill, the lush Bigelow, is in cahoots with Corbett, keeping Ted otherwise engaged so his wife can't contact him while harvesting his little fellas for DNA purposes.
Sorry,
later.
Little Terry, fellas. That's almost an identical email to who said that earlier on, and you need to be friends.
Yeah, little fellas.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone said little fellas earlier. Anyway.
So Terry's saying, is there something hidden in Ted's toilet? And Madame, take me, I'm yours, heading straight in there to retrieve it. Or was she just a desperate for a wee after quiff quaffs?
After quaffing
after
that, Chardonnay.
That Chardonnay. Yeah, you know when you have a few glasses of wine, you need to go to the toilet more often.
Once you break the seal, you're screwed.
Yeah, don't break the seal. Laurie Turner said little fellas earlier as well.
Okay, Laurie and Terry, you are friends to be. You're welcome.
Gas.
We've a few. Okay, let's get on to Kate. I got nothing short of abuse on Twitter for my opinions on Kate last week. I still think she's dodgy. I'm sorry. I'm going to stick by how I feel. She could turn out to be just one of the most solid people in the whole series by the end of it, but I'm just suspicious.
Yeah, I was suspicious of her last week, and then this week I thought that she did a really solid job.
Same. She did a very good job this
week. She's a really good leader, isn't she? She's
just
like, this is the operation, this is what we're doing. She gives direction really clearly and just makes sure that everything runs smoothly.
She is a really good leader. Like, we spoke about that scene where she marches into Alison Powell's office and she's like, you get that box, you get that, you over there. Like, I love that.
Give me your files, and if you don't, you're.
And that bit where she was like, I'm going rank on you, Steve, and like told him to get back up here now. I loved that.
That was a bit that I was like, you are a queen. You are.
Yeah,
and Steve obeyed that and trusted her.
He obeyed it straight away. But is it fair to say we don't get to see that side of her very often? When it's there, it's amazing.
But didn't she only give that direction after Ted gave her direction? She
I
was following
remember.
Ted's orders.
Ted said regs are regs, yes.
Yeah.
So she had to do that, but I feel like she didn't want to. She said this is, she did question it, do you know that way? But she is a solid leader. I think that Kate is someone who doesn't get the praise that she deserves sometimes, but I do also think
Rebecca.
That there is a reason, there is
loads of things about her that we don't know, and I think that it's very, she could easily go either way at this stage.
Yeah, there's an email from Owen Brady who says,
I like this.
Kate is still working for AC3 and is investigating Hastings. Ooh. As she quoted, the reason for going to AC3 was that it was run by a woman because she wasn't a Mason. So this is Hannah who you said earlier, when, do you remember, Kate had to go and get permission to investigate.
We need to find out
and
her
she
name.
Went to this female.
Yes.
Yeah. Which Owen says made extremely obvious that Ted was, and it was never made clear as to whether or not Dot was a Mason.
We had an email from an Una McMahon who said, I doubt Ted Hastings is a member of the Masons as he's supposed to be a Catholic, and I don't think they can be Masons, but I'm not certain about that. I don't know about that either. I meant to Google it.
Can, like, Freemasons?
Yeah, can you be a Freemason if you're Catholic? You can't.
I don't know if you can't if you're Catholic, but I do know that it's predominantly a Protestant organisation or society.
Okay. Also, sticking with Kate, Laurie Turner continues, Steve, with or without the help of John Corbett, finds an orchestrated link between H/the OCG and Hastings and takes this to Kate. She being involved, perhaps in blackmail from her affair with Acre's husband, sees this as an opportunity to stitch Ted up and deflect any attention away from herself, putting Steve in the middle and having to decide/investigate the two. I think this will end up with one of the three being killed.
I honestly thought that Steve was going to die in that episode. That's at two different points.
I wonder, will we have all our three favourite AC12 members going into season 6?
We've never thought Kate was about to die, though, have we?
I bloody
no,
hope so.
I didn't.
Oh, no, not that she dies. No, not that she dies. Yeah. I hope that we have everyone alive by the end of this season.
Yeah. Richard Porter sent us a tweet saying, for a man tight on funds, why did Ted buy an entire roll of bubble wrap for one laptop? Surely just nab a bit from the office. If he's already bent, what's a bit of supply theft going to add? And shouldn't he be on the big bottles of cider rather than large whiskies?
Yes, there's a couple. Yeah, let's get into the tweets for a second, because we got a really interesting one from Pamela Robinson at We Green Dragon, and she figured out that if you chat to H on the Facebook app, which is one of Rebecca's favourite things to do now, he has a username, user 2054. Now, I don't know how she figured this out, but 20, so the 20th letter of the alphabet. Do you know about this, Brendan?
No.
We're going to get one of your, like, iconic faces.
Yeah.
The 20th letter of the alphabet is T. The 5th letter of the alphabet is E. The 4th letter of the alphabet is D. So the H username is 2054. Ted.
Wow. I definitely saw that tweet. I saw another tweet, though, that someone said 2 in the alphabet is B. And then, what's O? We can do the math later, but I think someone was insinuating that it could be Big Bigelow. It could be that. It could be Jill. Jill Bigelow.
Like, we're definitely reading too much into
it. Oh, so far.
We are, but that is a very, very, what's the word? That is a great observation.
Seriously.
Lisa McQueen.
Oh.
Still don't know who she is, but there's a theory doing the rounds this week that I love.
We got a tweet about it from at Oi Walshy. First of all, this is a two-parter, both really great observations. Part one, could Ryan be Ted's informant? That is something that we've spoken about.
That could be who he's communicating with on the laptop.
I think there's a really good chance that Ryan is an informant.
Okay.
Yeah. Second part of that tweet, could Lisa be Jackie Laverty and Tony Gates' love child?
Because they went out in the 90s.
That is my favourite observation/tweet of
that.
This season. Yeah. I love that.
Do we think she is?
Well, it will fit in with the thinking that, or what she said about having been brought up in a world of crime.
Yes.
Because her mother would have brought her into it.
Running over the dog
it's
and
like
whatnot.
This is it. It's like what we said about Dot, the way he was brought up in a world of crime. Like, I think he needs to have a relative that we don't, that we know of, who ends up being someone like he's Hargreaves' nephew or he's Fairbanks' son or something.
Do you remember last week that you guys were both saying that you think that Dot was in the Sandsview boys' home?
Yeah.
I saw a couple of tweets doing the round this week of a picture of Oliver
Oliver Boyd. Oliver, the social worker who was found, the social worker who was found where Hilton was allegedly murdered.
He was the social worker from Sandview Boys Home, found murdered in the dock.
So someone tweeted us a picture of him, of Oliver, but it actually looks so like Dot, and some people reckon that he could be Dot.
I don't know how.
No, but some people do.
I have this written down, right? Oh yeah, it's Oliver Stevens Lloyd.
Yes,
we got an email from a Rachel. She thinks Dot was Oliver Stevens Lloyd. I don't know how that makes sense, right? But maybe he has a twin or a brother. Dot apparently tells Morton he used to be a social care worker.
What?
I don't remember that, but I mean, I will watch every episode back to back with no sleep to find out this line if that happens.
Immunity!
The photo looks like Dot, and apparently he reacts when Steve and Kate look at the image. Now, it can't be Dot because the man is dead and Dot's looking at the image of his own dead body. But there could be a connection there.
There could. I'm sure that Jeb Mercurio is just like sitting back, pissing himself laughing at how much everyone is just like reading into
stuff. Jed's dead
that
over
isn't
this.
There. Jed's dead.
Jed's dead. That's a new segment.
We have a bit of a what Jed said this week, actually.
Oh, go on.
Are there any more thoughts and theories?
There's a few. Well, I just
go on. Yeah.
While we're on Dot, we got an email from Owen Brady. I think the guy going into the brothel is Dot. It fits with the accent.
Oh,
Hastings knows that Dot isn't dead and is using him as a UCO, and that's what was on the laptop and all of the shifty looks are for. That's why when he thought that the OCG were going to get uncovered, he destroyed the laptop to preserve Dot's cover. Also, there's a photo going around on Twitter of that photo that that Jed posted of Craig Parkinson on set with Stephen Graham. And Craig is wearing kind of like a parker or like a trench coat. And then there's a photo of the guy walking into the brothel. Now, the coats are completely different colours, but someone is saying that they look very similar.
So is this feeding back into the whole idea that Dot is actually still alive?
This is it. If we were sticking
in
with
that
alive.
Episode, Ted really brushed past that whole revelation that Dot recruited Jane, and he's like, "Oh, no more skulking around." He closes the file and throws it on the table and walks away. And that is all that is said about Dot in that episode. And I just think there's more to that.
So do you? Why?
There was another theory doing the rounds as well that it wasn't actually Dot that Jane pointed to, and that's what Kate and Steve just told Hastings.
Oh, for God's sake.
I know, lads,
the
level you'll be here
lies.
For
you'll
weeks.
You'll be here all day. The last email we got was on Lisa, actually. It's from Lewis Bryant. Lisa could be lying to John that she doesn't know who is on the other end of the laptop. I think she's absolutely lying. Did you just open a random laptop? Who told her to open the laptop?
Yeah,
who set up MSN? Who connected? Like, what are
she's
you talking about?
She's playing real dumb as well. She's like, I don't know who it is. I don't know.
And just walk into a room and pick up a laptop. Like, someone knows and John is in charge. You're the second person in charge. Everyone else knows an idiot. So, you know.
And she said to the screen at one point, she was like, is there anything else I need to do?
Yeah.
And they just come back and they went, you know what to do.
Exactly.
Oh, so
they've been talking off camera.
Yeah.
She set up the meeting and met Hargreaves in the brothel flats. Yeah, she definitely did. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a coincidence. The girl recalled his strong accent, or possibly it was Dot's. So she has access to H's network of officers. I agree. Like, there's no way she doesn't know who's on that laptop. And if she doesn't know, then who's in charge? Ryan, the 15-year-old, or the other fella? Do you know what I mean?
He really grew into himself, didn't he?
He did.
It was like when Maggie Simpson was the one that killed.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Be Ryan.
Who shot Mr. Burns?
Yeah. Like, insane theories. And like, that's only a couple of them. Do you know what I mean? There's just everyone has.
We need to find out more about Sam. We need to find out why Ted didn't answer Kate on the walkie talkie radio.
Yeah, what was that pause?
That was a pregnant pause.
Ooh.
And we also need to find out how Hargreaves. Mm-hmm, corrected myself.
Yes.
How Hargreaves knew about the trackers. Need to know all that.
We also need to find out, does Ted Hastings have an integrated cistern? And what is the name of the woman that Kate visited who wasn't in the Masons? I actually have a theory of my own.
Yeah.
I'm capable of them. And not just reading out other people's. I think it is possible that John knew who was under the balaclava and killed him on purpose to cover up something coming out about him.
Hargreaves.
Possibly, because when John shoots Steve, it is so close to his ear that there's no way he got the shot so wrong to murder Hargreaves.
And he
by
shot
accident.
Him several times in the legs.
But it was really low down on the legs. And then he bled out later on. Like, you've he didn't
a, you've
shoot
got a huge
to kill.
Artery. You've got a huge yeah. artery on your leg.
I mean, I'm not the best at biology now, to be
no,
honest.
I haven't a clue. But I just think it was like frenzied shots. And then one shot with such precision, it like blew the eyebrow hairs off Steve's face.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? In yeah. very close proximity. So just putting it out there.
Okay. So what Jed said this week, Jed has been talking to the Sun newspaper about when the show might come to an end.
Oh,
probably not what we want to hear. To be honest, I mean, this still none the wiser. He said that he wants to have a chat with the BBC once this series is finished. So we already know that 5 and 6, there is another one confirmed.
Okay, so 6 mightn't be the end. I thought 5 and 6 were confirmed and that's all we were getting.
Yeah, so this is the conversation he wants to have. So Jed said that conversation will be very specific, which is whether series 6 will be the last or whether the BBC will be prepared to commission a 7th so we can approach series 6 knowing that it's not the last. So
okay.
he's going to write it in a certain way depending on whether it is the last one or
well,
not.
Well, that makes complete sense, but I mean, yeah. I hope they will be prepared to commission.
Yeah, so would I.
Yeah, I mean, 11.4 million viewers.
I mean,
I think
what more
they
want? Yeah.
Us talking in a room 1 hour a week about
for
it.
For another 4 years, I can't wait.
No trailer again for next week, was there?
No.
No.
I think we've only got one this season to keep us hooked after
yeah.
episode one. Didn't even need to do it. Hi, it's watch it. What?
And then...
I have some news.
Oh.
So
she's been very weird all day. I knew there
to
was
H
something
again.
Up.
I have been chatting to H again. This time H messaged me.
Stop
who
it.
Who are you, Jill yeah. Bigelow?
Who am I, Jill? With the curly
with
blow
the curly
dry.
Blow
I know
dry.
Your hair was looking extra bouncy today.
Thank you, darling. So I was sitting at my desk in work yesterday morning, right? Monday after the old... incident the night before. I was very stressed.
Beside
after that
me,
episode.
how did you keep it in? I say you were fit to burst.
Had to save the content for the podcast. So I was just sitting there, right? I don't really use Facebook that often. Something, you know, that little ding, that noise.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
No.
Were you thrilled?
Oh, I couldn't believe it. So I got a little ding noise, right? I was like, what's this now? And on Monday, it says, are you there? I need urgent assistance. User 2054.
That's I'd keel
oh
over.
Oh my God, that is so exciting.
I'd keel over.
I'd keel. There, I said, I'm here.
Rebecca.
I wrote back and said, I'm here. And
you've gone
H,
rogue on us.
I have gone rogue. Who am I? John Corbett. Right. H wrote back to me. We're past pleasantries, mate. I need your help
mate?
Again. Mate? I know. I need your help again. AC12 are up to something and I need to know their movements. If you're lucky, I'll throw you a bone. I mean,
sorry.
Is H
says,
coming on to me?
Sorry,
who says
mate?
Yeah.
Kate.
Are we on?
Kate and Steve.
So please send abuse me on Twitter.
H goes, are we on? I said, on. This will benefit you as well. Let's work together on this. Bent Copper PS Jane Cafferty was wheeled in for questioning. I said, okay, hun. Who did she identify as the copper who recruited her? Kate showed her a selection of photos of a couple here. So basically, H started asking me trivia. Was it Dot? Was it Hilton? What's going on? And H is going on to me. There seems to be a pattern of what happens to those who spill the beans to AC12. You better not open your mouth about this. You won't want to end up like Cafferty or worse. Moving on. And I said, Jesus, I won't. So anyway, few questions. H talking to me. I looked around right in the Line of Duty official Facebook group. I saw a few people had said that H was chatting
you were
to them.
Dripping sweat at this point.
I was literally perspiring, like had to change my top afterwards. I was looking around the group and apparently some people were fuming that H hadn't written to them. So I don't know if H has only been onto a select few of us. Anyway, I'll let you know. I'll see when he texts me back.
That is very, very exciting.
Yeah.
It is.
So did he give you a clip this week? No.
No, he didn't. He also just, he threw shade at me.
He
a bit
she.
Of a Jill. He or she. You're not very intelligent. At least I can be safe in the knowledge that you'll never know who I am. And I wrote back, I am, bitch. And then he never wrote back. So we said he has to lay low for a couple of weeks. And who knows what else the rat has up his sleeve. And then I wrote to him again. He goes, look, I've told you. I'll get back in touch with you in a couple of weeks. So he might be texting me for a while. But I just wanted to let you guys know that I have a new guy on the scene. Or girl.
You're in contact.
You could be ghosted H. by H.
Did he spell any words wrong?
No. I should have asked him that, shouldn't I?
I seen. Go on.
Somebody,
yeah.
The BBC script
yeah,
thing. Yeah,
very
we're
clever.
So
we are so
I saw
insane.
That as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, so I think all BBC production. You're totally not on the same page.
No, I did see it. Someone went through all the scripts and they were like, how has no one done this?
So I think the BBC must put up all their own they're homemade. You know, the BBC drama scripts must be, you know.
You can read a script for basically every show that went up on the BBC. Yeah. You just Google it and you can read the full script.
And then they do that, you know, like control F for, and then searched for the word definitely spelled wrong.
Oh, that
and it didn't
so
come up anywhere.
Highly intelligent.
Yeah.
But they're not going to spell it wrong in a script. Well.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
So what are we expecting from next week then, if we haven't seen a trailer? We still haven't seen Ted, that shot in the original trailer of Ted in the
behind
prison
bars.
Cell.
Yeah,
that's
Jill is coming for him.
Things aren't looking
well,
good
Ted's
for our
Ted's coming for Jill, really, isn't he?
Oh my God.
Brendan, my mother
is a family podcast.
I am not the one trying to entrap that man. That's Jill Bigelow.
God. Bam, chicken, wow, wow. I can't believe I died.
What do we expect from next week? I think a further fall for John
Sorry.
A further fall from grace for John Corbett and Brendan if he keeps it up. I think more from Lisa.
Yeah, I need more from Sam as well. Why is Sam still
I'm
in the series?
Sicker.
Who
Back
is
off.
Lisa? Is Ryan undercover? And is our Ted corrupt?
I'd love to see Nigel Morton next week hobbling around. It's no good.
Legit, there's going to be a shot of like low down on the ground and you're just going to see like a walking stick. Just
there is a shot though when he meets up with Dot and Dot tries to convince him to say that that other fella was H, and you just, it is, you will piss yourself when you go back and watch it. It's like a glamorous woman's leg getting out of a car.
The stiletto.
No, but it's a stick.
Love him. Love him.
And obviously we're going to see inside that apartment what John is up to with Mrs. Ted.
Yeah. Roisin. Is her name
Roisin? Roisin, yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed that in the recap. I was honestly, guys, I needed a Xanax.
Lovely Irish Catholic name, just in case.
I'm really, really excited. Like, I think that the episode that we've just watched has made me the most excited to see the next one. Like, I actually cannot wait for it.
Yeah, I don't think John... Again, biased. I don't think he's going to touch a head, like a hair on her head.
But he can't. How can he go? How can he reverse out of that one now?
I don't know.
Without getting caught, do you know what I mean? Mm. He kind of has to see it through.
And the fact that he so strongly believes that H is Hastings, I feel like he's going to do something
really
to frame.
Or,
Ted,
revenge. Or maybe he's using her to lure Ted there so he can have a face-to-face. I don't know. Anyway, loads to come. That's it, though, for this week's Shrine of Duty. We've probably said something wrong, like, you know, KF or the integrated toilet cistern.
We'll
so even please, pronounce Hargraves. Like.
No. Yeah, so please give us pronunciation guides and correct us on anything else we've done wrong. Tweet us at Shrine of Duty. We're on Instagram at Shrine of Duty. Email us, shrineofduty@gmail.com. We're off to do something fun.
I forgot about this.
Have the curly blow dry booked.
Yeah, I was just thinking, how are we going to wrap up this episode? And then you just remind me.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm going to go into the hairdressers with a picture of Jill Bigelow and be like this.
Please.
And then you come out with brown hair and you just didn't realise that was what was happening.
Brown hair and throwing shade at everyone. So yeah, we're off to do something fun in the next day or two, which we will be able to tell you about in the next podcast.
Guys, you won't believe it. It's probably top five most exciting things that's ever happened to me in my life.
Yeah.
Ever. Nothing more exciting has ever happened to
me. I can't believe it. I can't wait to tell everyone next week.
Yeah. In the meantime, keep sucking diesel.
That's it now, lads.
Send us a picture of Ted's toilet, please.
Shrine of Duty.
There's only one thing I'm interested in. One thing only. And that's bent covers.
Shrine of Duty. The official, unofficial podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.